Attention, please.
Another one.
Yeah, you're back once again here. 6 a.m. The 2 hours of freshness with the boys, fresh. DJ Dash and DJ Nave, right here on the number one station in Mzansi and all around the world. The Active FM.
Where Christ music is?
Hot music.
Yeah.
You tuned in on the Dave and Nash show right here on Active FM, everybody. It's good to be back on a Friday morning to kick off the day. You get what I'm saying? Morning drive.
Yes.
Yeah, morning drive with the Dave, with the boy Dave and Nash on the Dave and Nash show. Yeah, this is how we roll. Yeah, this is how we roll, everybody. Hope you stay tuned in till the end of these 2 hours of freshness. There's nothing that will give it. There's no reason, in fact, that will make you stay away from the shop, because you know how we roll.
Yeah.
You know how we do this.
Show you, I got everything.
Laugh of
inherited.
Wealth.
Inherited. Yes. Laugh of wealth. And everyone who just tuned in, you know, we're going to be delivering the best here on the number one station. Number one hit music station.
Yeah.
And we're going to love it. Why? Because you're going to be tuned in till the end. There's no leaving. Once you tuned in, you tuned in.
Yeah, we ain't living this, everybody. So we believe that you're gonna stay tuned on this number one station, the Active FM, where Christ music is hot music. That's why each and every single time before we kick off into the topic, what we actually do is we teach you something. You get what I'm saying? Something that's gonna get you elevated, something that's gonna get you energize, something that's gonna get you pumped up, as
pumped
I always say, everybody. So right now, stay tuned in on the number one station, the Active FM, with your boys DJ Dash and DJ Nev on the Active FM. Christ music is hot music.
Get
the music.
Enjoy. Listen to the news and then the music, you know. It's amazing, man. It's all yours, hey.
We're seeing Christians slaughtered by ISIS. This is happening across the Middle East. Is this genocide?
This is genocide. This shows that ISIS is not just at war with the world. It is at war with Christians, and it's trying to say to Christians, you have a choice. Convert to Islam or you will be killed.
We cannot stay silent and passive. The UN Center for Law and Justice signs a commission of inquiry on the Syrian Arab Republic for gathering evidences of the genocide committed by ISIS. The ECLJ strongly supports the call for the Security Council to act under Chapter 7, taking actions against ISIS and sanctions against states and entities supporting it. We should all recognize those genocides and condemn the ideology inspiring them. We cannot stay silent and passive.
It is illegal for you or me or any American to provide any type of assistance to Al-Qaeda, ISIS, or other terrorist groups. If we broke this law, we'd be thrown in jail. Yet the U.S. government's been violating this law for years, directly and indirectly supporting allies and partners of groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS, with money, weapons, intelligence, and other support in their fight to overthrow the Syrian government. A recent New York Times article confirmed that rebel groups supported by the U.S., quote, have entered into battlefield alliances with the affiliate of Al-Qaeda in Syria, formerly known as Al-Nusra. The Wall Street Journal reports that rebel groups are, quote, doubling down on their alliance with Al-Qaeda. This alliance has rendered the phrase moderate rebels meaningless. We must stop this madness. We must stop arming terrorists. I'm introducing the Stop Arming Terrorists Act today to prohibit taxpayer dollars from being used to support terrorists. Mr. Speaker, I yield back.
Also American advisors?
Yes, there are experts from many countries.
Who will also seek to support and back some of the opposition and may provide them with assistance.
The Obama administration had a choice whether to renounce that strategy on the part of its allies or to go along with it. And clearly, although there was never any public acknowledgement of this, the Obama administration did, in fact, decide to go along with that strategy.
For those who work at the Pentagon, the main entrance to the building is on the southeast side. But for the military's top brass and the nation's leaders, there are special VIP entrances.
ISIL forces included. As I've said before, this aspect of our strategy was moving too slowly, but the fall of Ramadi has galvanized the Iraqi government. So with the additional steps I ordered last month, we're speeding up training of ISIL forces, including volunteers from Sunni tribes in Anbar province.
We're a humanitarian nation, but the legacy of the Obama-Clinton interventions will be weakness, confusion, and disarray. A mess. We've made the Middle East more unstable and chaotic than ever before. We left Christians subject to intense persecution and even genocide. We have done nothing to help the Christians, nothing. And we should always be ashamed for that lack of action. Our actions in Iraq, Libya, and Syria have helped unleash ISIS. And we're in a war against radical Islam. But President Obama won't even name the enemy. And unless you name the enemy, you will never, ever solve the problem.
We are going to protect Christianity. And if you look what's going on throughout the world, you look at Syria, where they're, if you're Christian, they're chopping off heads. You look at the different places, and Christianity, it's under siege.
And you know, very sadly, if they're Christian, they don't come in. Okay, if they're Christian, they don't come in. And before this whole mess, if you were in Syria 2, 3, 4 years ago, one of the top experts told me this on borders and on the military. I mean, this is a real guy that really understands what's going on. He said, you know, Mr. Trump, first time I heard him, he said, if you're from Syria and if you're Muslim, it's very easy to come into the United States. One of the easier places. But if you're from Syria, and if you're Christian, it's almost impossible to come into the United States. One of the hardest things to do. I never forgot it. That was 3 years ago, he told me, 3.5 years ago. I never forgot what he said. Because Christianity is under siege, folks. Whether you want to hear it or not, it's under siege. And we've got to reverse it. But if you were from Syria 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, you wanted to come into this country, if you were Christian, one of the hardest places on earth to come into the United States was a Syrian who happened to be Christian. Something wrong. And they're the ones that really needed the protection more than anybody else. It's all going to change. It's all going to change.
There ain't a time that you aren't by my side. Coast to coast when I need you the most, yeah. And I won't rewind, my life has been defined. Say goodbye, adios, my old life is a ghost, yeah. My old life is a ghost, my old life is a ghost. My old life is a ghost, my old life is a ghost. My old life is a ghost, my old life is a ghost. Love the way you hold me down. You got a real grip, and I can feel you all around, and I like it. Oh, 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 oh. Progressive, I'm down with the flow. Said, oh, 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 oh. Foot on the pedal, let's go. But how do I follow something I can't see? I need to know that you're there. Show me that you're there. You tell me faith. This wild walk, it's not what I see. So now I know that you're there. Now I know that you're there. There ain't a time that you aren't by my side. Coast to coast, when I need you the most, yeah. And I won't rewind, my life has been defined. Say goodbye, adios, my old life is a ghost, yeah. My old life is a ghost, my old life is a ghost. My old life is a ghost, my old life is a ghost. My old life is a ghost, my old life is a ghost. My old life is a ghost, my old life is a ghost.
Everybody back here. I know you guys enjoyed the news and the music. Did you? I'm listening.
Yeah, it was cool.
Say
it. It was cool.
No, not
I
you.
Enjoyed it.
Not you.
All right.
The audience. Can you hear them?
No, I can't hear them.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
No, I still can't.
Your face. Yes, dude, this guy. Yeah.
You said it. It's my face.
Yes, it's your face.
Yo, Master by the Nation. Way, everybody, we're back once again right here in the number one station with the boy DJ Dash and DJ Nev on the number one station in Mzansi and all around the world.
Yes.
Yeah, the active fam where cross music is hot music. Yes. Yeah. Where we drop forward. The mic, you get what I'm saying?
Drop the mic.
Yeah.
Mr. Dave, drop the mic.
I dropped it.
Yo, too we late. Dropped it. Yeah.
We were too late to react.
Oh, Saras. Saras.
Yes.
This guy.
Saras. Yeah. So, everybody, Mr. Nash.
Yes?
What are we going to be talking about?
So everybody, Mr. Dave, what are we gonna be talking about?
What are we gonna be talking about?
In fact, the title is, you know, the topic for today is, what are we gonna be talking about? Yes.
Yeah, that's the topic. What are we talking about?
So, as the audience, what are we talking about?
Mr. Nash, what are we talking about?
So, we're going to be talking about different things, you know?
Yeah.
Insight. This is going to be a session where we're going to be talking about different stuff that you actually get exposed to, you know? Things that actually build up our life. Yep. Things that formulate our life. You know, it's not only things that you're exposed to, things that you see each and every day, but also, you know, the word of God. Where does the word of God impact us? I mean, the word of God is living. The word of God is the absolute truth. I mean, if God has to say a white wall is black, it's black. Why? It's the truth. So even if someone else comes and say it's red, it's black.
Black.
Yes, it's black. It's not gonna change. So that's just some intro, you know, to actually let you know. We're going to be talking about different things.
Yeah.
Including your Susan and Jack.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about how do you know the right person. Everything.
All that
stuff. So, you got to be tuned in. Might touch something that you're waiting for, you know, something that you loved, something juicy.
Yeah.
That you are like, yeah, my ears are tickling for this, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Even leadership. Going to be touching some of that.
Yeah.
And as a result, you're going to love it.
You're gonna love it.
Because it's the word itself.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Dave,
Mr.
what knowledge do you have for us?
You know, speaking of knowledge,
hey.
Back in the days when I was still in school, when I was still young,
I saw that coming.
I used to see a lot of young people.
Yes,
doing different stuff, but hey, I'm joking, everybody. Yeah. But yeah,
he's finished with school, guys. He's finished with school. Can you believe this? By faith, man.
Yeah, I'm young in spirit, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. So everybody, you know, we would like to touch on the prize of leadership. We would like to touch on prize of leadership. As we say that we're gonna be talking about different things, is we are on this show talking about what are we talking about?
Yeah, I know.
You're asking yourself right now, what are we talking about? And this is what we're talking about right now. And according to the Bible actually, Jesus replied in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So, you cannot get into something and not finish it. You need to finish what you started. If it's either you are in with God or you are out at all. You are out. You're not. It's either you give God your all or you give or you give nothing at all. So,
yeah,
repeating the verse, Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. So when you are when you put yourself into the things of God, you gotta be there. Like, put your all. You can't put one foot in and one outside. You gotta put your all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Snatch.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. That's amazing. Yeah, I hope you people are taking notes.
Yeah.
So we're expecting you guys to have a pen and a paper. I was gonna say pen and a pencil. And I'm thinking, are you gonna write on the pen or on the pencil? So yeah, we're expecting you to have a pen and a paper to take down notes, because these are amazing topics, you know, which are gonna touch your life.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you see Mr. Dave just came speaking about the prize of leadership. Right there's a lot of things that the prize. It goes back to, you know, also the blessing. You know, as people, we want to receive the blessings of God, but you don't want the responsibilities. Same with the topic, the price of leadership.
Yeah.
You want what leadership has to offer, but you don't want to take the consequences.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm just going to also touch one place, you know?
Yeah.
The gifts of inspiration, you know, which also goes along, it complements leadership, you know, the prize of leadership. Yeah. Because as a leader, you're also gonna have to inspire people.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're gonna have to inspire them.
Mm-hmm.
And you got gifts, you see. You got gifts, that's the amazing part. The Lord didn't bless you with gifts, you know, just to display.
Yeah.
Say, you know what? I'm gonna bless you with this gift so that you can display it. No. He blessed you with that gift so you can impact other people's lives.
True.
So you can help them change.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the prize of leadership, you know. Now the biblical side of it is prophecy. That's a gift right there. And that also complements the prize of leadership. Because with that gift, you got some serious responsibilities, you know,
it's
that are gonna come on your shoulders. Yeah, you know, like Mr. Dave was saying, when I was young and I was down, you know, not done, but I was in school, I became a leader and I had responsibilities. But the price, once upon a time, I used to do this and that, and then I finally saw reality.
The price became too high, so
yes.
I had to cut it.
Cut it. Yeah, so, but right there.
Yeah, Mr. Nash,
yeah.
As you touched on prophecy, would you like to elaborate more on what the prophecy carries, or
yeah,
what can actually, what is it that actually supports the prophecy when you're speaking about prophecy? And please elaborate more on that.
Okay, I'm gonna bring one person from the Bible, which the Lord actually as an example, you know,
yeah,
to make us understand in terms of prophecy. And that guy is by the name of Moses.
Yeah
Moses, you know, that guy was too much, man. So if we go back to the time of Moses, the Lord actually said to Moses, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. Now that's found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18 to 19, basically.
Yeah.
Now, this passage speaks of Jesus who would have the fulfillment of the prophecy. You know, basically, when it comes to prophecy, so the Lord will choose an appointed person. It's not everyone. You know, it's the people who the Lord has called. It's the people, same with leadership, you know. Complements leadership, because you're in that authority position, you're in that position where they see you as a leader, where you have that title as a leader. Why? Because the Lord has chosen.
Yeah.
Even if it was the class that voted for you.
Yeah.
But the Lord's the one that actually wrote that in your passage, in your timeline, that during this specific time the class will vote for John to become the head boy.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. And that's the Lord right there. He has already proclaimed that. He has written it in his book of life, you know. He has written in your timeline, your story, saying that when you reach this specific time at this specific period, you're gonna become the head boy.
Yeah.
And as a result, that he's gonna use his appointed people. I mean, like, you get a situation where, like, out of nowhere, you know, someone comes and tell you within 2 years time the Lord has showed me that you're gonna be owning a house. Right there, that's a prophecy. And that man of God or woman of God that the Lord has used, he has used that person to actually give the prophecy to, so that that person can come and tell you about the prophecy. So as a leader, you actually get those gifts also.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. You know, as you have touched on that, I'll also like to share something. You know, a person that is chosen to exercise leadership will be molded by the Lord. So I'll repeat that. A person that is chosen to exercise leadership will be molded by the Lord and guided by biblical principles. In order for you to be an influential leader, you have to be molded by the one who has placed you at that particular time, who knows the timeline of your life, who knows how long and what events are going to take place in that particular time as you live. You get what I'm saying? And in this manner, that person will be able to become someone who motivates others and who motivates themselves.
Yeah.
Because you cannot go out there and start motivating others if you are not motivated yourself. You gotta be motivated yourself. In order to achieve this, a certain inner strength is needed. You need to have the inner strength and highlight this, a certain inner strength. As biblically, how can we classify that certain inner strength? That can be the Word of God, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has to be inside of you so that you may have that strength. You get what I'm saying? The more adversity you have faced in life, in other words, the more challenges you have faced in life, the greater the development of that inner strength.
Yeah.
So the things that you've gone through in life will actually give you the strength and the ability to actually motivate others, to actually inspire others, to actually bring about your story, to tell people that they are not the only ones that are in that situation. There's this statement that is I would like to quote. Actually, it says that success is not just the result of a correct and positive mental attitude.
Yeah.
It is also about having a heart that is willing to pay the price.
Mm.
An attitude of faith is what leads us into conquering the things that seemed impossible.
Yeah.
And as we remain focused on God, it will become a reality. Mm. Wow.
That's amazing.
That's amazing right there. That's amazing right there. That's a beautiful statement, right? I'll take that. I'll take that. I'm going with it. I'm going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is true, man. Mm. Which is true. And yeah, basically, that's a leader. You know, that's a leader. And something that's amazing that you actually touched on is you know, the leader has to have that inspiration, you know, basically from the inside. He has to be inspired as a leader. They cannot be a leader without vision. So it cannot be a leader who, on the inside, has no vision.
Yeah.
Has no inspiration. He's not motivated to achieve more, you know, as a leader. And yeah, you know, you actually have to be in that position where you have that undercover. And basically what I would love to also say is, which is true, like I actually touched on prophecy, and you know, it complements a leader. Like looking at the vision and all those stuff, you know, when it comes to prophecy, it also brings light in the midst of darkness. Now looking at that, it also complements that the leader has to be motivated inside.
Yeah.
You know, cannot always have negative outcomes, thinking, ah, negative this, negative that. Like what you said, the leader has to have faith. So each and everything that they think and do has to come from faith, you know.
Yeah.
They have to have faith. They have to be led by faith. And as a result, you know, like the Word of God says, we walk by faith and not by
sight. Yeah.
We don't walk by sight. Why? Because in the physical, things might look impossible, but in the spiritual, they are possible. Now, same with prophecy.
Yeah.
Waiting in patience until the day dawns. This implies that we must not take our eyes or attention off the prophetic word until the light of Jesus fills us completely.
Yeah.
So we do not rely on us. Now, that's where faith comes in.
Mm.
And with prophecy also, it comes with inspiration. You know, interpretation.
Yeah.
When you have prophecy, you know, it's not, you're basing everything on what you think. You cannot prophesy based on what you think.
Yeah.
That's your knowledge.
Yeah.
And the prophecy is not based on your knowledge. It's not based on your knowledge. It comes from God.
Yeah.
You know, which if you have to go back in the Bible, you know, when Peter was actually speaking on that, you know, he was touching that. Peter actually emphasized that prophecy comes from, it doesn't come from someone's own interpretation.
Yeah.
Or things that you see, which actually states that prophecy is not based on our own knowledge.
No.
Prophecy actually comes from Christ, who empowers us in terms of interpretation by the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So you need to have the Holy Spirit within you.
Yeah.
And as a leader, you have to walk by faith, led by the Holy Spirit, not by faith. There's also different types of faith, you know. We also have to acknowledge that. We have to realize and be aware that faith is not only just faith. Now, there's different levels of faith. There's different type of faith. And yeah, something, you know, we also don't know. We have knowledge. We have a knowledge that Satan is real.
Yeah.
We have knowledge that he exists. But sometimes we tend to forget that there's also demonic faith.
Mm.
I mean, even Satan has faith.
Mm. Yeah.
He has faith. But he has the wrong faith. He has the wrong faith, and that's not the faith that we're supposed to be having,
yeah.
Which is demonic faith. Now, we gotta be also walking by faith, but by the right faith, led by the Holy Spirit.
That's real. That's real. That's real stuff. And you know, in the price of leadership, there has to be some things that you encounter before you get the reward, before you get that prize. And that one of the things might be loneliness. When you look at Luke chapter 5 verse 16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You know, being lonely doesn't mean that you are alone.
Yeah. See?
So Jesus spent time in a lonely place, praying, having a conversation with God.
Yeah.
Being lonely doesn't mean that he was alone.
Yeah.
People tend to take this, being lonely and being alone is the same thing. It's one of the same thing. No, it's not. Times of loneliness must be made of the best. They must be made the best of. You must take advantage of the moments of loneliness to increase your devotional relationship with God. That's what we must do. We must take advantage of those moments of loneliness and actually engage with God.
Yeah.
Because the fact that we are alone doesn't mean that we, the fact that we are lonely doesn't mean that we are alone.
Yeah.
So to increase the relationship or the devotional relationship with God so that you may be strengthened in Him. So by building a relationship with God, we are getting strengthened in Him. We are receiving that strength from God.
Yeah.
So that I would like to read as well in Psalms 55 verse 17 to 18. It says, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice. He rescues me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. Even though a lot of people may oppose you, but He rescues you. He rescues you from anything and everything. So that's why we need to focus on God, even in those times when you feel like you're lonely. But just know that you're not alone.
Yes.
God is there.
Yeah,
spend your time in the lonely place as Jesus did, but also with someone, which is God, in prayer.
Yeah, true that, true that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we do not have limited airtime, you know, when it comes to getting in touch with God.
Yeah.
But sometimes God says, I want you to get in touch with me every day. No, it's not every day where you get God saying that. Sometimes it looks like you have left me for too long. You know what? Let me bring you back.
Yeah.
Come back where you belong. Because if he says, if I leave my child's going to end up where he's not supposed to end up.
True.
And as a result, it's going to affect him for his whole life, where he's going to get to a point where he doesn't come back. Now he gets to you. He's like, come back. I want you to get connected with me every single day. You know, right there. He has came down to our level and he wants us to connect with him. And as a result, we got to make God our priority. You know, whether you're on the RCL at school as a leadership, or you out there in the corporate world as a leadership, no matter what title you got as leadership, no matter where you fall under as a leader, whatever it involves, whatever you do as a leader, whether you're the president, I'm also speaking to president here. We're all speaking to president. Mr. Dave is speaking to president.
Yeah.
We're speaking to everyone around the whole world.
Yeah.
Basically everyone.
True.
As long as you're in the earth, on the earth, inside, underground, the water, as long as you're not in space, we're speaking to you.
Yeah.
Even when you're on Pluto.
Yeah.
If you can hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking to you. No, now you, no matter how, like I said, no matter what category you fall under as a leader, you should put God first.
True that.
And God should be the solid foundation, which is your rock under your feet, found in the book of Psalms chapter 62 verse 7 to 9, where it says, the Lord Christ is our solid rock under our feet. And then verse 9 states that we should lay down our lives for Him. Why? Because God is a safe place to be.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody, everybody, everybody. It's been a great moment that we've been having so far with you. Right here this morning with the word of inspiration, with the word of motivation, with the word that is going to change and transform your life with the word that's going to take you to a whole new other level.
Yes.
That's going to change your mentality. If you are that businessman, if you're that CEO, if you're that manager, if you're that school child, if you're that RCL, if you're that president, if you're that deputy, if you're that whatsoever that you are in your occupation,
yes,
or whatever field that you are in, just stay motivated on yes. this show, the number one station, Active FM, with your boys DJ Dash and DJ Nave,
yeah.
on the number one station in Mzansi and yeah. all around the world. Stay tuned. Also go on www.activefm.co.za and catch more and more shows right there with different presenters, not forgetting the Dave and Nesh, obviously, and not forgetting the other presenters. As you go on that website, you'll find many more, because
yes.
we have shows all throughout the week. You get what I'm saying? That's
yeah.
how fun it is.
Yes.
So everybody, now we've been cooking, now
yes.
we got a dish. So
yeah.
everybody,
we're
enjoy
gonna give
the song.
You. Yeah. yeah, and don't forget about the news. And before we give everything to you,
yeah.
we're gonna, you know, obviously close this session with, what are we talking about? So keep that in your mind.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you are listening, we actually want you to comment. What were we talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, so enjoy the news and music.
This was posted about 4 hours ago, and it's breaking news. Fukushima reactor number 2 pressure vessel breached, rising to unimaginable levels of radiation. This is breaking news, February 4th, 2017, as reported on Japan Times, Forbes magazine, and all the sources are below. This is not old news. Yes, radiation is at its very highest since the 2011 meltdown as a result of an offshore earthquake and tsunami, from the Daily Kos. Radiation levels inside a damaged reactor at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power station are at their highest since the plant suffered a triple meltdown almost 6 years ago. The facility's operator, Tokyo Electric Power, or TEPCO, said atmospheric readings as high as 530 sieverts an hour had been recorded inside the containment vessel of reactor number 2. Do you realize how high that is? That is, what? The recent reading, described by some experts as unimaginable, is far higher than the previous record of 73 sieverts an hour in that part of the reactor. A single dose of 1 sievert is enough to cause radiation sickness and nausea. 5 sieverts would kill half those exposed to it within a month, and a single dose of 10 sieverts would prove fatal within weeks. TEPCO also said image analysis had revealed a hole in metal grating beneath the same reactor's pressure vessel. The 1-meter-wide hole was probably created by nuclear fuel that melted and then penetrated the vessel after the tsunami knocked out Fukushima Daiichi's backup cooling system. Official reports are not saying that the core has escaped the containment vessel and are claiming that no radiation has escaped the reactor, but later in the article admit that they don't really know where the core is. That is not good. If it is true that radiation levels are rising, that is probably not a good thing. Some are stating that because of the new administration, this will be back page news. We agree it's not headline news at all, but not sure if it matters to who is in command. The U.S. government and even worldwide governments seem to want to stick our heads in the sand until this is too late for us to do anything about it. And perhaps it already is. As you can see, this is catastrophic. 530, not 5, not 30, but 530 sieverts an hour. What? And to top that off, they don't actually know where the core is. They don't know where the core is. Folks, this is bad news. The radiation has already reached the west coast of the United States of America. And of course, as this proves to be at the highest level, I imagine that it's going to hit the west coast even harder. Now, of course, this has unimaginable consequences for those who are around Fukushima. Which I imagine they're being told it's okay, it's safe, and blah, blah, blah. This, of course, was on Health Nut News. And, of course, as you see here, there's multiple sources. Japan Times, Forbes Magazine, and a whole bunch of sources are listed below, which are all right here. Science Alert, Daily Kos, Japan Times, Yahoo News, no less, and now on Forbes Magazine. Okay? This is legit. This is not old news. It's happening right now. Breaking news for February 4th. Get this out. God bless and carry on.
Zombies dead with hearts of stone. Man's internal chaos unleashed upon an unsuspecting world. Every creature be extinct. Creation makes her exit. God forsaken, the planet is hectic. Some believe they were born to wreck it through evil, decrepit like Satan the serpent. Everything inside you say my soul is ready to join the dead. No longer can I take it or fake it or rap like it don't really affect me. Very fact that death is coming is real enough to damage and break. Not to mention my scars from these backstabs and gossips. And I'm by no means privileged for going through this carnage which spreads across the planet, quiet, lurking in the passage like a phantom in the darkness, looking for souls to salvage. Dive deeper into this menace called Earth. Shed a tear in advance for these victims of rape. Child molested, enslaved, aborted, told me lies and aborted. I mean, how was I to know my soul would end up trapped in bondage? I mean, they bring you death, dressed up in the fanciest of clothing. I'm in the cell at first while trying to keep the real life in the basement. You ain't felt the pain yet till your daughter become the sex slave in faraway foreign lands, molested by strangers. Man, she was getting a dress in a shopping mall when she was taken away.
What's going on with the talk? I don't know why. I can't give my time to the worries or the lies. All their stories let the clock tick non-stop. Never drop from the top, cause I put my time in heaven. Even when life's not playing along, I know my God is phenomenal. Yeah, and even when life's not playing along, I know my God is phenomenal. And they know that I'll be dwelling in my intimate enjoyment of his charms, where I'm just mentally reclined. I got Christ on my mind, phenomenal. Yeah, and even when life's not playing along, I know my God is phenomenal.
My soul is ready to fly to the most high. Day or night don't really matter, cause God is light. Meaning heaven will never be dark. Now I'm in the rest of God. So dope, it froze my mind. Stopping time, how great is God to hold the keys to past, present and future time. The giver of life, just when you thought it was done, he pulls the curtain aside, revealing the planets and stars that have been waiting for years to give him a round of applause. The main attraction, what you heard is just a fraction of his fame. Is more than amazing, never failing, and his light is ever blazing. Stay focused, you don't wanna miss this. The path that connects all the pieces, the Son of God, Messiah Christ, the one that died on the crucifix just to fix the damage and rubble caused by our sins. It's him sitting right next to God, so epic to see them together again. Too much glory for mortal men to fix their eyes and remain alive. Too much glory for mortal men to fix their eyes and remain alive.
What's going on with their talk? I don't know why. I can give my time to their worries or the lies. All their stories let the clock tick non-stop. Never drop from the top, cause I put my time in heaven. Even when life's not playing along, I know my God is phenomenal. Yeah, even when life's not playing along, I know my God is phenomenal. They know that I'll be dwelling in my intimate enjoyment of his charms, where I'm just mentally reclined. I've got Christ on my mind, phenomenal. Yeah, and even when life's not playing along, I know
that I'll be dwelling in my intimate enjoyment of his charms, where I'm just mentally reclined. I got Christ on my mind, phenomenal. Yeah, and even when life's not playing along, I know my God is phenomenal. There is none like you. That's why I always call upon you. You turned my world upside down, and you brought me closer through the words that say come. I heard you calling so softly within me,
I wanted to come, but Lord, the system froze me. And my soul so long to jump out of my skin, but it can't in a cold. And the world being old is never the reason why the world's so cold in the heart and the souls. I know that every time we try to close the doors that we didn't open, and we try to open what we can't close. So I had to stop to realize that the world can't take what it cannot give, and it surely can't give what it cannot take. Yeah, the world can't take what it cannot give, it surely can't give what it cannot take. Yeah. What can I do with my obsessions? With the unseen realities of the world, the madness of my being is like the wind that blows them trees. I'm all his presence in a king I cannot see, but heaven's here. My soul glows, let my heart feel ceaseless ages of eternity because I'm spirit filled. Praise, Lord, is what I've got. Lord, I'm just needing more. I need to feel your heartbeat hard so I can tell them lovers and friends that Jesus did it, he ain't got to do it again. And tell them haters and friends that Jesus did it and he ain't got to do it again.
My God is phenomenal. My God is phenomenal. My God is phenomenal. My God is phenomenal. And I'll be dwelling in my now. Intimate enjoyment of his child.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah, we're back.
Back again.
With another one.
With another one.
On another level.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Dave.
Yes, we're still talking about what are we talking about.
Yeah.
No, so, we're not being sarcastic, you know what I'm saying? Actually, what we're talking about is what are we talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, that's what we're doing right here. What are we talking about is what we're talking about right now. So everybody, you gotta stay tuned in right here, as I've been saying, that on the number one station. Number one.
Ian.
Where Christ's music is roaring, flaming, blazing, hot music.
Going to melt down your radio. Radio. Burning. Yes, melting your radio on another level.
Yeah,
I'm listening.
This music is hot music. Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's
in fire. Yeah, so what are we talking about is what we're talking about right here on the number one station. Yes. With the boys, DJ Dash and DJ Nave. We have touched on the prize of leadership, and we have spoken about loneliness and all that stuff. That when you are lonely doesn't mean that you are alone. And Mr. Nash has also touched on prophecy and different kinds of faith that we have. But you know, also in the prize of leadership, there are processes that you need to undergo before you get the reward. So now there's also decision making. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 1 says, so I made up my mind that I will not make another painful visit to you.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Paul made a decision that he will always go before the Corinthian believers with joy. He wanted his words to raise their spirits. Every leader has to make decisions.
True.
Every leader has to make decisions. And those decisions that every leader makes, it's either they're going to crush them or build them.
Yeah.
So each and every single leader has to make decisions. When these decisions are made, in prayer, favorable results will be received.
Yes.
David consulted God before he made any decision in his life.
Yeah.
That's an example right there.
Get it?
David consulted God before any decision that he made. So there might be rejections as well. Whenever you're trying to make a decision to actually go and get a sponsorship right there, to get an internship right there, to get a tender right there, you might be rejected. But Paul, when we look at it in the Bible as well, Paul was rejected by his own nation.
Yeah.
But this did not cause him to give in to their nations.
True that.
To give in to their notions. I mean, nations. Yes.
Yeah.
Instead, he stood firm. As a leader, whether you are rejected or not, in times of rejection, you gotta stand firm. Regardless of what came against him, he stood firm.
Yeah.
On the other hand, there was Saul. That was Paul before.
Before he was anointed and called.
Yes. And so his name was changed from Saul to Paul.
Yeah.
In the other hand,
amazing,
was Saul.
Yeah.
Who wanted to be in good standing with the people.
Yeah.
And so he disobeyed God. As a result, he was removed from the position of as a king. When the Jews rejected Jesus, he opened up his mercy to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Jesus never said that our lives will be free from worry. That's what people get wrong. When I go to Jesus, my life will be free of worry.
Yay.
No, Jesus never said that. Jesus never said our lives will be free from worry. Quite the contrary, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
And that you find in John 16 verse 33.
Yeah.
But he also left us with the promise that is powerful enough to help us. To help us surpass any difficulty that we may face.
Yeah.
In John chapter 16 verse 33, see, it says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Look there. First of all, he said, he never said that we will not face any worries. But he said, in this world, you will have trouble.
Yeah.
And now, in John 16:33c, he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Even though there might be troubles, trials and tribulations in this world, but we need to understand that he has overcome all of them.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's true that, which is amazing.
Mm.
Which also goes back to Psalms 62. He is the rock, solid rock under our feet.
Yeah.
I love verse 9. Why? Because he tells you what to do. True. Lay down your life for him. Why? Because it's a safe place to be.
Yeah.
Which Mr. Davis, you know, explained. Take, you said take calm or take heart.
Take heart.
Yeah.
I have overcome the world.
He said, take heart. He has overcome the world.
Yeah.
Now check that out, man. He has overcome the world. So that simply states what? It's a safe place to be.
True that.
In God's presence.
Yeah.
And I love Peter, man. Hey, Peter. He's a leader, man. Amazing leader. And something that actually, you know, like, it makes me say, wow, is the way his name changed from Saul to...
You mean Paul.
I mean Paul. Not yeah. Not Peter. I mean, yeah, Paul. And well, something that actually amazes me about him is the way he's changed, his name changed from Saul to Paul. Ne? And something that's amazing about that is his name changed from deceiver to the rock.
Mm.
Check that out. His first name meant deceiver, which was Saul.
Mm.
And it completely changed from deceiver, which is Saul, to the rock, which is Peter. Paul, I mean. Hey, I can see Peter stuck in my head.
Yeah.
There. But Paul, which is amazing. Like, that's like a transformation right there.
Yeah.
Picture that, you used to deceive people, but now you're actually leading people to Christ.
Yeah.
And you're the rock of the church. You're the core of the church, which is amazing. Paul is an amazing person, man. He's an amazing leader. And as a result, guess what? The church today is amazing. You know, we actually have a foundation and everything is how it's supposed to be. Why? Because of the 12 disciples that Jesus changed their lives, who actually went on further. Now, Paul, I bet you, throughout his lifetime as a leader, he had tough times. It wasn't easy. He was getting persecuted. Why? Like Christ. Why? Because he's a Christian. And I mean, back in their time, they were using Christian to actually criticize them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, little Jesus. Yeah. Look at you. You know, things like that. But that's cool, man. Yeah. Look like Christ. Yeah. I got Christ. What you got? I love Jesus. What you do? Yeah.
I love God.
Things like,
do you love God?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm joking. But then basically, if you look at Paul, like, throughout his lifetime, he needed God. Even when Christ left, he still needed Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, they almost cry, man. Maybe they were crying. Never know. Jesus, why are you leaving us, man? Like, can't we come with you? Jesus, no. You can't come with me. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. But right there, they needed Christ.
Yeah.
And even after Christ left, they needed Christ as leaders who are appointed to lead the nations. They still needed Christ.
Yeah.
It's not, now you're a leader. You don't need Christ. You got it, everything undercover. Yeah, lead them. No. They still needed Christ in each and every day of their life. And as a result, Christ sent the Holy Spirit, who is their helper. The helper. Yeah. He said, I'll send the helper. So the Holy Spirit is there to guide us, help us, protect us.
Yeah.
Provide to us, give us wisdom. Fill us with wisdom, knowledge, you know, every single day. And as a result, as a leader, you're going to have disciples who are going to follow you.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to form them. Like something that actually, you know, throughout this past week, you know, when we went to the G12 conference, something that one of the preachers said that actually got into my mind was, leaders are not found, they are formed. Right there. Leaders are not found, they are formed.
They are not formed.
Yeah. Come on, man, you saw what you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you sow what you reap.
All right.
But you do sow what you reap, you see. Mm. You reap something and you sow.
Mm-hmm.
So you reap what you sow. So they can be farmed, you know. Mm. Yes. But basically, leaders are not found. They are formed.
Mm.
Which is amazing. As a leader, there's going to be followers. You're going to have followers. Mm. I mean, like, on Facebook, you're going to get people who are going to invite you, follow you, and you don't know them. Why? Because they look up to you as a leader. So that shows that there's someone out there that's actually getting impacted by your life as a leader, even though you're not aware of it. And as a result, we need Christ. And our first priority should be the relationship we have with God.
Yeah.
We should be having a relationship with God daily. Our relationship with God should be solid, not liquid.
Yeah, that's real. You know the amazing thing about looking at Paul's life? God didn't only change his character, but he also changed his name, which is beautiful. From a deceiver to a rock. Look at yourself right now and you think that you're stuffed up, but trust in God. Communicate with God. Don't feel rejected, just make the decision. Even though you feel lonely, just make that decision. And do not feel rejected, because God will never leave you nor forsake you. He said in his word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So after being lonely, making decisions, being rejected, now it's time that you get a reward. Now you're getting rewarded.
Yay.
In the race, there is a registration. Ooh. There is a registration prize.
True that.
Mm. In the race, get this right. In the race, there is a registration prize, and there are many difficulties.
Yeah.
However, the reward that God has promised us makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, true that.
With God, you know the amazing thing? With God, you can never go wrong.
Yeah, true that.
You can never go through some trials and tribulations without receiving a reward.
Yeah.
You just need to have faith in Him.
Mm.
Be constant.
Yeah.
Continually remain in His word.
Yeah.
Remain in His presence.
True.
And He will give us cities and nations. As He says in Matthew 28 verse 19, then go and make disciples of all nations. So those nations in which we have to go and make disciples in, He will give us.
Yes.
Like Mr. Nash said right now, leaders are not found, they are formed. In other words as well, leaders are not found, they are made.
Yes.
You don't find a leader. You make a leader. You form a leader.
Yeah.
You disciple. You make disciples in those cities and those nations which God will give to us.
Yeah.
And in Revelation chapter 2 verse 26, it talks about that it says, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over nations. Which is what Abraham, this is what Abraham had. This is what God promised Abraham. Abraham got all the nations.
Yeah.
God gave him authority over all the nations. Why? Because he did the will of God to the end. Whatever that God required him to do, he did willingly. He did it willingly. And God, he will give us spiritual authority. God will give us spiritual authority. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 1 says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sicknesses. So God will give each and every single one of us spiritual authority to drive out the demons, to drive out the sicknesses, to conquer death, to cast out the sins that, you know what, God, to defeat sins, to defeat the temptations, because we have been given the spiritual authority. Temptation doesn't just come naturally. Doesn't only come naturally. It's something that starts in the spiritual realm and then it manifests in the flesh.
Yeah.
Because now it all takes place in the mind first before it occurs.
True that.
So God will give us all that spiritual authority.
Yeah. And we actually have received it.
Amen.
We have received it.
Yes,
Mr. Dave, you got the authority.
Amen.
I got the authority.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. We got everything that we need to do, get, and in order for us to go and impact the nations.
Amen.
We have it in the name of Jesus. And he has said you'll give it to us, and he has given us.
Yeah.
All you have to do is tune in the power.
Yeah.
We gotta have a relationship with him.
That's right.
And which is the other area of what are we talking about, you know, that I'm not touched. As a leader, you have to touch your prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
That's another aspect. So as a leader, you have to be active in your prayer life.
Yeah.
You have to be active in your prayer life. And which also complements you having a relationship with God.
Yeah.
I mean, the main priority in forming disciples, you know, which are your followers. You know, your followers may not be known as disciples. They may be known as followers, or they may be known as your friends or close friends or anything, you know. They might fall under different description, but as long as you the one they tell them something to do, they are your followers. They might fall under as your colleagues or employers, you know, employees.
Employees. Yeah.
You know, they might have
even your employers as well.
You see English. It's too much, man. It's so nice.
But
they might actually fall under any one of those descriptions. Now, it's you, like looking at the people that you employed, the way their attitude and the way they react towards the job that they have is based on how you treat them.
Mm.
It's based on how you treat them. So if you treat them harshly, they're going to react in a negative way.
Yeah.
So they'll react in a harsh way.
Yeah.
They react how you're not expecting them to act, even though you're not aware of it. And as a result, it's going to bring you and the company down. So it doesn't only affect them, but it also affects your company.
Yeah.
You'll be on the front page. Whoa, this person's company. Everyone is like this, like that. And you're like, okay, now people don't want to come to your company. But never mind the company. But basically, as a leader, you're supposed to have a relationship with God, because that's where you love your neighbors.
Yeah.
And you make sure your prayer life is active. And when your prayer life is active, you have the most powerful keys to opening spiritual doors that God has entrusted to his children. And that's found in Mark chapter 11, verse 24.
Yeah.
Right there, you have the keys.
Yeah, that's real stuff right there. And as I'm still here on the prize of leadership, we're still talking about this. And right now, you know, we've been cooking, you know. We've been toasting, we've been turning and twisting and doing all those stuff, but now it's time for you to stop twitching and start tweeting get on Twitter at ActiveFM777 and get tweeting.
Yay.
And stop twitching. And get on Facebook, ActiveFM777. Get on Instagram, ActiveFM777. Yep. Get on where else? On iTunes, yep. iTunes, and get the shows right there. Rate the shows as well. You can get us anyway. Go on www.activefm.co.za, and also don't forget the album At the Active Church. You can go to www.activeworship.com. activeworship.com, and also get some artists who have been groomed in the Active Church. You know, get a lot right there. Get a lot. God has given us gifts and talents to glorify His name.
Yeah.
So right now, we gonna cook. We gonna toast. Yeah. We gonna fry. Enjoy the music, everybody.
Hey, Mr. Dave, man.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Trump Breaking News Network, your daily source for up-to-the-minute Trump news. Join us today and every day. Here's today's news. This is TBNN.
Trump just gave all Christians the gift of a lifetime. No president has ever done anything like this. By Lindsey Bruce. Donald Trump isn't just fulfilling the promises he made during his campaign, he is crushing them. Trump just announced that he is going to change a rule that had churches around the country living in fear that if they speak out about a political figure, they will be attacked by the government. President Trump will be repealing the Johnson Amendment, which bans public charities, including churches, from campaigning for or against a candidate for elected office. Among those freedoms is the right to worship according to our own beliefs. That is why I will get rid of and totally destroy the Johnson Amendment and allow our representatives of faith to speak freely and without fear of retribution, Trump said. I will do that, remember. This move will give a voice back to churches who have been attacked by left-wing policies and an abusive IRS. Franklin Graham, son of American preacher Billy Graham, was a victim of the Johnson Amendment. Graham faced IRS investigations for his organization's Samaritan's Purse and the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He wrote to President Obama in 2013 to complain. I believe that someone in the Obama administration was targeting and attempting to intimidate us, he wrote. This is morally wrong and some would call it un-American. Trump promised during his campaign to give churches their voice back, and that is exactly what he is doing. Thank you, President Trump, and God bless you for this.
That's the news. Join us here every day. Be sure to subscribe and click the bell. See you next time. This is TV.
My God, that is who you are.
way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. Hey, hey. We make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Hey, we make a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You wipe away all tears, you mend the broken heart, you're the answer to it all. Jesus, you wipe away all tears, you mend the broken heart, you're the answer to it. I worship you. You are here, meeting every need. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, de devotion, de amazeke ane.
Yeah. Cartoons, man. Yeah. Taking us back to cartoons, man.
Yeah,
you're never too old for that.
Okay, so you know?
Yeah, yes. Some people, they're like, you're too old for cartoons, man.
No,
you can't
man,
do that.
Oh,
don't come here with your stuff. Yeah. Who lied to you?
Yeah.
You're never too old for cartoons, man.
Yeah.
Believe me, even when you're a grandfather, you still enjoy cartoons.
DJ NT is the witness to that.
Yeah.
He loves cartoons.
Yeah, I'm just picturing that, man. Your grandpa's watching cartoons in front of the TV and
he's
laughing.
Out of
That's going to be an amazing, awesome moment, but funny at the same time.
Because
it's something that you don't really expect.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, you're never too old for cartoons, man. And which also complements you spending time with your grandkids, your kids, your children, anyone who's related to you.
It's real.
Yeah.
So everybody, thank you so much for staying tuned in right here.
Yeah.
We're still going on right now with this topic, with these amazing topics and facts and all that biblical scriptures and leadership principles that one can live according to. That you need to understand that you will be lonely at times. You will have to make decisions. Sometimes you will be rejected after making those decisions. But at the end of the day, there will be a reward because God keeps his promises. God's promises are yes and amen. So
amen.
The other thing that we'd like to state is that God, in your reward, God will compensate the price that we have paid. God will compensate the price that we have paid. What price is that that we have paid? By going out there and making disciples of all nations, going out there and doing the work of God, going out there doing the will of God. You know, Abraham was blessed by doing the will of God. Doing the will of God to the end. And God gave him authority over all the nations. So right now, we can also have everything that God gave to Abraham. So now, I'm going to read in Mark chapter 10, verse 29 to 30. It says, "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Wow. So, in other words, the word of God, Jesus is saying that anyone who leaves their brother, who leaves their home, who leaves their sisters, who leaves their mother, who leaves their father, who leaves the children, who leaves the fields, for God, for him, for Jesus, will not fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. So in other words, if they leave all those things for Jesus, they will get them again in 100-fold.
Yeah.
They will receive them again in 100-fold. That's amazing. And on top of that, eternal life. Eternal life. The word of God says in Psalms 102, verse 27, "Thou art be the same, and your years shall have no end." Be the same, and your years will have no end. So that's where eternal life comes in.
Yeah.
You will have eternal life.
True that, true that, true that. Yeah. And we all leaders, you know, we're all leaders supposed to be tuned in into the word of God, the power that he has installed for us, which is amazing. It's not only based on our prayer life. What are we talking about? I'm going to touch another topic. Pim, 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 pim. I'm rolling, rolling, random. Pa, 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 pa. I got a topic. Yeah. You know, the question that we always have. Is this the right person?
Yeah.
Can you hear?
Mm-hmm.
Is this the right person?
Look. Before you get into that.
Yes.
Can I just lay out, okay, conclude that part, that section of leadership before we get to the Susies and the chapter. Okay. So, you know, also in terms of reward, God will give us prosperity in every dimension. In every way, in everything that we do. Third John chapter 2 says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you."
Yeah.
"Even as your soul is getting along well." So, just for concluding this topic on the prize of leadership is that successful leadership is within our reach.
Yeah.
We were born to lead and to positively influence others. Regardless of the price we have to pay, the effort we have to make, or the battles we have to fight, we know that God has called us into his service. We lean totally on him. Totally on him. Remember, totally on him. We lean totally on him because he keeps our souls from anguish and will enable us to be fruitful in our ministry. It cost Jesus his very life. For us, it implies complete sacrifice in our personal lives or our family. Yet God rewards us in a much greater and more generous way.
Yeah.
A way that far exceeds our sacrifice. whatever that we have given is nothing compared to what God gave, to what Jesus gave.
Yeah.
He laid down his life for us.
Yeah.
He gave it all for us.
Yeah.
That's why we need to take that initiative and become successful leaders that will lead people positively and influence people positively. But we need to have a solid foundation, which is the word of God, which is the rock that we ought to stand on.
Yeah, which is true. And it actually, yeah, man. The prize of leadership, you know, basically, that actually touches a lot of areas.
Yeah.
Not only just the prize, but also other areas like, you know, your leading, you know, how you should be actually leading as a leader, you know, also your formation of a lead disciples, you know, as a leader and all those stuff. And guess what? One of the prize of leadership, you know, is that right person. Yeah? That's why you get questions like, is this the right person?
The fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I have to give it to you, man. God is romantic.
Yeah.
God is romantic, man. He knew that we're going to be this type of people. You know what? Let me add some romance onto it. You know, if you don't, if you're like, what is this guy talking about? I'm telling you, God is romantic. Let's look at it in the book of Genesis, you know. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. This is what it says. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. Mm-hmm. I will make a helper comparable for him.
Yeah.
Yay. Right there. That's, you know, Romans, man.
You know when I read that verse, it actually got stuck in my mind. So whenever I speak about this Susan and Jax, let's quote that verse.
You must know, man. It's too much.
Yeah,
it shows our father's romantic, eh? Mm. It's romantic. And he actually he designed us in a way where he knew this is what we'll need, this is what is gonna trigger you, and this is what you want, you know. And basically we need God in our life, and we also want someone who's there, you know. Fire, keep the fire burning.
Yeah.
Burning in our heart. Yeah.
Burning
in our heart. Gotta keep the fire burning.
Burning.
Yeah. In you. You got Susie.
But I fight to just stop. Keep the fire burning.
Yeah.
Burning in the heart.
Heart.
Keep the fire burning.
Yeah.
Burning
in the heart. In our heart.
Oh yeah.
Burning.
Yeah.
This
is our gym session, right?
Gym session. Mm. Must know. Yeah, obviously. You bump into someone. Now, the Lord also, you know, warns us about having the wrong type of friendship.
Yeah.
Now, because obviously your friendship, you know, sometimes that's where your relationship comes, you know, where you have, is this the right person?
Yeah,
it comes from this, the friendship zone, you know. Mm. Some people, you know, something that's funny, I get people that come to me, yo, this girl's friend zoned me. And in my head, I'm like, what? Talking about friend zone, yeah, and you freaking out like towards business, yeah. Where in the Bible does it say you must freak out about friend zones? Like, yo, she won't talk to me. Yo, friend zone. Yeah, it's hard to get out of there. Is that biblical? Trust.
No.
Is it biblical?
Like,
what does the book of Genesis say?
Like, if you can also look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23.
Yeah.
It says, but the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
But the fruit of the Spirit of love.
Love.
Love. Joy.
Yes.
Patience.
Yay.
Peace.
Yes.
Kindness.
Aye.
Goodness.
Mm.
Faithfulness.
Mm.
Gentleness.
Aye.
And self-control.
Self-control.
Against such things, there is no law.
Look at that.
There is no law that can go against self-control.
Even.
Gentleness.
Yeah, man.
Faithfulness.
Aye.
Goodness,
yes.
Kindness,
yes.
Patience, joy, peace,
yes.
And love.
You see, our father is, but God is romantic, man. You see, even that friend zone can go against it.
Yeah.
So don't freak out about the friend zone. If God said it's the one, it's the one. She's the one or he's the one.
Mm.
But right there, we also gotta avoid specific things that the Lord warns us about.
Yeah.
You know, in the book of Jeremiah, verse chapter 17, verse 9 to 10. This is what the word says. The word says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Get those two. It's deceitful above all things, and it's also desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings.
Yeah.
Now you gotta examine your heart. You know, sometimes our heart lies to us. You know?
Yeah.
You bump into that person called Susan, you're like, yo, what a beautiful, wonderful name. Oh, I had a dream. The Lord said you are the one. Mm. Yay! You don't get those dreams. Hey, the Lord spoke to me.
Hey, there's a woman.
Hey,
there, right there.
That's gonna come to me at this specific time. Hey,
and it is, you know, how smart some other guys are.
Hey,
they bring out a statement. Yo. At that particular moment, they're speaking about the event that is happening right there.
Hey.
God said, this will happen. They're drinking coffee. God said, there will be a woman. You will sit with her and drink coffee. So you create a story out of what is happening at that particular moment.
Hey.
But no, you know what? Since you touched on the heart, you gotta have a noble heart.
Yeah.
A noble and good heart.
Yeah.
The Bible continually speaks about the problems with the heart.
Yeah.
A deceitful heart. A lying heart.
Oh.
A deceptive heart. A heart that doubts. An anxious heart. In contrast, the Lord also spoke about a right heart.
Yeah.
For example, David had a heart in line with the heart of God. Our hearts should be in line with the heart of God.
True.
If we have the right heart, the Holy Spirit will plant seeds that will produce fruit in our character.
Yeah, true that. Yeah, man. You see right there. Yeah. That's why as a leader, it is important to have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
It is very important to have a relationship with God.
That's right.
And, you know, the word also, it actually warns us in terms of keeping away from the world. In other words, as a leader, don't live a life based on how the world is living.
Mm.
Don't live a life based on how the world is living.
Yeah.
Live a life according to the word of God.
Yeah.
Not based on what people think about you.
Yeah.
So, in other words, there's actually is, you know, I don't actually want to add too much stuff. I actually want to read this script. Now, if you go in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, you know, I'm gonna read what it actually says. Do not love the world or the things in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Don't forget it, what it says. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them.
Woohoo!
Hey!
Oh yeah.
For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Yay.
It is not of the Father, but it's of the world.
But
the Father doesn't have that. Those are not the characters of him. It goes on further to say, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever.
Wow.
You know,
it brings me back to one of the verses that I read in the book of Mark when I was doing my quiet time.
Yeah.
It spoke about the fact that, you know what, we shouldn't be into the things of the world. We shouldn't be more conformed to the standards of the world. We shouldn't be conformed to the things that are happening in the world.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know what? The Bible also speaks about the fact that we are in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah.
You can be something, but not part of it.
Yeah, man.
You can be in the house, but not own that house.
Eesh.
You can be in a group of gambling people, but that doesn't give you an excuse.
Yeah. Don't come here with your quote. Yeah, the David Nash show, they said that. Because as part of the gambling, I'm not the one that has gambling.
Yeah,
no.
You know, you get those learners who gamble at school, they tell you that. No, me, I was the one who was borrowing money. Like, Really? You were part of it. If you were the one that was borrowing money, which means you're part of the gambling team. Because now you're supporting that gambling. So you might as well be part of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So, also, you know, hearing and retaining the word. We gotta hear the word. You gotta hear the word. And what did James teach? He said, do not merely listen to the word. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do not just listen to the word. Don't be only doers of the word, only hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. Of the word.
The word, not the word.
Sorry. Sorry. Do not only be listeners of the word, hearers of the word, but also be doers of the word.
Yeah.
Because, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
Yeah.
That's in James chapter 1 verse 22 to 24. Just imagine in the morning
you have a lot of those
preparing go to school to go to school look at yourself in the mirror. Look good, man. Look good. I got a fresh cut.
Yes.
And when you walk out, you immediately forget how you look like. Please describe yourself, Dave. What kind of a cut do you have? Do you have any lines in your head? What? You immediately forget how you look like. That's how it's like when you just hear the word of God and do not do it.
Yeah.
That's why it's important that we hear and do.
Yeah, true that. Yo, and ladies and gentlemen, this session is coming on fire,
it's coming on fire.
But yeah, something that I want to say on, you know, just to add on, you know, that's someone that you want.
Yeah.
That's something that you want. Don't base your conclusion upon what knowledge that you have. So you're like, Lord, I want to know if this is the right person. And then you're like, yes, it's the right person. So I'm going to pray about it, and then the Lord's gonna say yes and all this stuff. Don't conclude for God, man. He has to give his input. Maybe he's gonna say, son, see, I love you so much, ne? I know you love this person, but this person has everything that you want, but they're not gonna submit to you.
Whoa.
So you cannot have this person. You need someone who has that part also in. You see, now right there, if you conclude for the Lord, hey, you shoot yourself, man.
You know,
he's gonna leave you. You shoot yourself.
Because if you take a look, God's plans are higher than our plans.
Yeah.
And what he wants for us is the best. He wants us to prosper.
True that.
He wants us to flourish in each and every area of our lives. He doesn't want us to lack in anything.
Yeah.
But his plan is to prosper us and not to perish us.
Yeah.
He wants us to be victorious. He wants us to be more than conquerors, which we are.
Yeah.
We are. Gotta declare that over our lives.
Yeah.
When we look at ourselves, we gotta declare that we are more than conquerors.
Yeah.
By persevering, produced a crop. So by persevering, you will produce a crop.
Yeah.
So by persevering, you will produce those disciples. You will form those disciples.
Yeah.
You will not find them, but you will form them.
Yeah.
You will make them.
Yes.
So I believe that one of the things we must need to persevere in is maintaining a good relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
We need to build and maintain a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. How many people are tempted to leave the race? How many people are tempted to leave the race? You own this spiritual race. You own this spiritual race. You're running the race constantly. You're running the race on a good pace. But now, you start, as you go along, you get tempted.
Yeah.
And then now you want to give up on the race.
Okay.
Saying, I can't do it anymore. That's the statement that we commonly use. I can't do it anymore. I'm tired. I can't do it. Just because they did not have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Remember that. In order to see the fruit, the labor must first work hard. In order to receive, in order to see the fruit, the laborer, the worker, the one who's putting all the effort
Yeah.
Must first put the work.
Yeah.
That's found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6.
Yeah.
True. Oh, that. Man.
Yeah. It's amazing, man. It's amazing, yeah.
That's amazing stuff.
Awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome, man. Got another verse, you know. I got other verses that are coming that are on fire, you know, that are amazing. Yeah. And what basically that says is focus on God and what He has in store for you. And don't worry about Susan and all those stuff. Because if He blesses you with Susan and Susan goes crazy, He's going to sort Susan out.
Yeah.
He's going to deal with Susan as the father and daughter.
Yeah.
You know, He's going to sort her out. So you don't need to worry about that.
You know,
you don't need to worry about that.
The other thing, just shortly before you carry on, you know, God cannot give you somebody that He knows that will trouble you.
Yeah.
God will give you somebody that is comparable to you.
Yeah.
As you read in the
book. Yeah, in the book of Genesis.
In the book of Genesis.
Yeah.
God will give you somebody who is comparable to you.
Yeah.
Who is a comparable helper.
True.
Yeah.
And yeah, this is why it says we must stay away from the world. Why? Because we'll make decisions that you're not supposed to make. You'll conclude for God.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to read a verse in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 to 6. And this is what it says. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world.
Oh, yes.
And this is the victory that has overcome the world.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith.
Yes.
That's what has overcome the world. When you got faith in God, can overcome any obstacle that the world offers. Why? Because you know. Yeah, look at that, man. Who is who He is? Oh, my bad. Talking about Jesus here.
Huh?
Who is He who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, this is who came by the water and blood. Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. No, not to us like water. No, water and blood. Hey, water and blood.
Yeah.
And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth.
Oh, yes.
Anything that comes from the world cannot overcome God. Yeah. God says, you got Susie. You got Susie. Yes.
God says, you got Jack. You got Jack.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
And if God says Susie's gonna be exactly how you want Susie to be,
yeah.
It's gonna be blonde. Yes. Every figure is too much on point. Everything. Hair taller than you. She gonna be taller than you.
No, God will give you somebody that is in proportion with you.
Comparable.
You wanna, yeah, comparable. A comparable helper.
Yes, think about it, man. Comparable helper. If you can't reach on top there, she's gonna reach for you, man. Yeah.
Just imagine now. You're walking with Susie. She's taller than you.
Yeah.
And then now, she'll be like walking with her baby brother. Because now the way you're down there, she's up there.
Hey.
And the way you're holding you on the shoulder, man. Which, yeah. Everybody,
we've
spoken, we've spoken, we've spoken, and it's been an amazing session. It's been a lovely session, and just stay tuned in.
Yeah,
stay tuned in every Friday.
Yeah.
There's still some more jam-packed shows that will be delivering to you, because we're here at Active FM. Christ music is what?
Heart music.
And we deliver the exclusive each and every single time. You know what?
Yeah,
inspired by the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit.
True that, true.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. So right now, everybody, we're gonna shut this down. We've done it all. We're going. So everybody, have a great weekend and be responsible.
Yeah.
But before we do everything, we gotta give you something juicy, something that's gonna get you pumped up and dancing and grooving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Old school, going old school. Yeah,
Gonna give you something.
Yeah,
it's gonna get you pumped up.
Yeah,
grooving.
Another level.
Another level.
Haha.
Yeah. So enjoy the music, everybody.
Yes.
Rapid Trade is passionate about mobility and solutions that make a difference in your business. From mobile sales and sales management to van sales and proof of delivery. For a demo, call Rapid Trade at 011-493-9755. Rapid Trade.
ahead of the game.
YouTube is going after another YouTube channel, another Christian YouTube channel. SermonIndex.net was shut down this past week. They have thousands of videos of just sermons. The question of always is, why in the world is YouTube going after sermons or Christians? A Canadian-based YouTube channel with over 90,000 subscribers was shut down. Is large Christian archive is the large Christian archive of Christian sermons the reason? SermonIndex.net has been restored, but earlier this week, according to an article by the Christian Post, its YouTube account was closed, purportedly because of extensive violations of the social media site's terms of service. A Sermon Index representative explained to the Christian Post. Now, we've gone through a few times the terms of service. After a little bit of reviewing this Christian YouTube channel, I don't understand how they could have violated the terms of service. And in fact, YouTube actually admits they made a mistake. How many other YouTube channels, Christian YouTube channels, have been shut down because of a quote-unquote mistake? On further investigation, submitting a form to YouTube, the website founder of SermonIndex.net received the more vague reply of the reason why the account was deleted, wrote the representative. At this point, he had to believe there is possible religious discrimination involved, and this does not seem normal to have no email warning or exact reason why the account is deleted. This is why we tell you guys, please go to our website, christiantruther.com. Just subscribe for the emails, or just bookmark the website. That way you know where to find us, because at any moment, at any time, YouTube can decide to shut down our channel. The Canadian-based website archives large numbers of Christian sermons and has posted thousands of videos of preachers to YouTube, accruing more than 95,000 subscribers. Clearly stated on part, Sermon Index's channel description is that they consider their site a movement of believers seeking the old paths, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Representatives of this movement do not discard that the move to shut down their site should alarm all Christians. This still raises concerns for Christian ministries running YouTube. We had thousands of people praying and advocating, emailing YouTube and calling, said Sermon Index in an email on Wednesday afternoon. In a copy of the message sent by YouTube provided to CP or Christian Post, the attempt to call the incident a mistake is hardly credible. We have re-reviewed your account and have concluded that it is not in violation of our terms of service. Therefore, we have unsuspended your account. This means your account is once again active and operational and is in good standing, read the message. How can an account go from being totally deleted to all of a sudden it's in good standing? Sounds like somebody had some hate or some discrimination ongoing, and they decided a button. They clicked a button to delete or disable that YouTube channel, which reaches thousands, by the way. Now, of course, as of right now, this channel has been restored, which is good. But after just a little review of their videos, this is just an image. After a little review of the video titles and things, there's no way they're in violation. When you can just turn around and look throughout YouTube, you can see all sorts of porn and all sorts of other things that are disgusting. But YouTube doesn't shut them down. No. YouTube goes after the Christians. I'm glad to see that they were restored, but again, a YouTube channel, a Christian YouTube channel, was shut down for no reason. But it was restored. Keep that in mind. They got through. A lot of times people can't get through. There are people with not 95,000 subscribers who cannot get through to YouTube because they do not have an email. They do if you can find it. And of course, you can't call a representative of YouTube or Google and say, hey, my account was deleted. Why? You can't do that. It's not fair. It's discrimination. That's what this is. But I'm glad to see that they were restored. But again, this is a warning. It's another warning. At any moment, YouTube can delete our channel, or any Christian channel for that matter. And there you go. That's all I got for you. God bless and carry on.
Yeah, welcome everybody, we're back with another one, back with another one, Basically, you know, we're back with another one, but, we got news, you know, everything went on fire,
yes.
And it's still on fire, so. But unfortunately, gotta close. Gotta close. Now, if you just tuned in, your face, man.
Your face
is amazing. Yeah, but basically what I was saying is come back late. Not late, early.
Yeah.
I meant to say later, as in, you know, next week, Friday, but early.
Yeah.
Not late, after, not 6, after 8. Or after 7:50, when there's 10 minutes left. No, come early. At 6. From 6 to 8.
Yes,
that's the time you must be here.
Sheesh.
Which is amazing.
Sheesh.
Yeah. And we're just gonna close now. And I'm just gonna close off with saying, you must learn to wait. Learn how to wait for God's time.
Yeah.
Because with God's timing, you'll get the right person. You're gonna get everything that He has in store for you. He's gonna allow you to work on your foundation of your character in God. He's going to help you on waiting and getting strength from Him and receiving His obedience. He's going to help you to actually be obedient to Him. And waiting on God's timing is the key to everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Connected to that, Mr. Nash, this is my closing as well. In love. You got to keep the love. In Corinthians, Paul writes a full account of the meaning of love. And the part of it should play in a believer's life by pointing out its precedence. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 13, it says, and now these three remain: faith, hope, love.
Wow.
But the greatest of them of these is love.
Love. I told you God was romantic.
It's about love.
Love's the key.
The word of God speaks about love.
Yeah.
So everybody, this is where we leave it. We're loving you.
Yeah.
And right now, don't forget to go on www.activefm.co.za. Also go to www.activeworship.com and get the worship songs right there. There are jam-packed albums right there. You get the word. Uplifting, the spirit uplifting songs right there on Active Worship and Active FM as well. You get the shows that inspire you with the word of God, because we all about Christ music, and when we deliver Christ music, we deliver the best. You get what I'm saying? Because the word of God attracts. The word of God is attractive. So you gotta stay tuned in every Friday, 6 o'clock in the morning to 8 a.m. And you're gonna have a blessed weekend, everybody. We love you, but right now, unfortunately, we gotta leave you. So stay tuned. This is your boy DJ Dash and
DJ Nave.
Yeah, we're signing out. Peace.
Yes, the word attracts and reacts.
Yeah. Huh.
And broken bottles from broken houses. Got mosaics of pain when we paint Picasso's. Others try to be conscious with college as the motto. Some Aristotle's, others are solace. With Protestant problems, we try to find it hiding in other trees. It's like we following after our role model Eve. When she found that apple attractive, it wasn't apple she was after. It was the satisfaction of wisdom from other masters. As soon as she got it, she straight forsook what she was after. Her heart forever empty, cause the crook became a captain. Now her mind forever looking for a book to make her happy. If she looked the right way, then she'll know the right thing, yeah.
The knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from the tree, but they did it. You will surely die. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Increasing in the knowledge of God.
Where do I find it? Is it buried underneath? Is it hidden in their souls? Will I hear it when they sneak? When I follow what they seek? Should I swallow what they speak? Got a bottle when I dream. Sleepy hollow when I think.
It's scary, ain't it? It's a monster's preaching proof, teaching tools that came from spirits. Halloween costume, this truth is wisdom, friends with riches. Colossians is the school, contest for context, and the winner eats the fruit. Who wrote it? The seeds are simple yet complex. Depends on your perspective. My suggestions is for specs. Direct your train of thought. You tracking with me? You acting witty when you grabbing pennies. This ain't college or comic. Cosby actor filthy.
The knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from the tree, but they did it. You will surely die. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Increasing in the knowledge of God.
How is this knowledge supposed to change us? Should it stay in our brain or should it remain stuck? Should we use it to abuse or exchange love? Or maybe quote it to everyone we won't praise from? Or maybe I got a problem. We get into the heart of it. If I wanna know, that's not the problem. Where's my scholarship? I followed it to the road apostles went when they saw a prophet bent over with the cross, of sitting on it with intentions to bring us back behind the veil. The scoffers saw him and thought they knew he was bound for hell. You see, their knowledge was foolish, blinding them from their sails. They knew the scriptures, yet couldn't tell the difference between a sinner and omniscience. If I wanna know, I gotta know about them. Take me back to the garden where we all started doubting. Wanna feast on your tree, wanna taste, wanna see, wanna know, wanna grow, cause that's all my soul needs, you.
I pray to be filled with the knowledge of his will, the image of the invisible God. Pray to be filled with the knowledge, the image of the invisible God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God.